Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we have made it past Monday, we have slid past Tuesday, and we are on hump day, which means only one thing and one thing alone. It is time for a happy hour brought to you by Has-Been Sports and the Titans Pro Shop. I am your host tonight, Clint McCain. You can follow me on Twitter at CMcCainHBS. You can follow the show on Twitter at Has-Been Sports. You can email the show at HasBeenSports@gmail.com. And tonight I am joined by the one, the only, Mr. Dan D. Bradley, and on Twitter he is Dan D. Bradley. Dan, how you doing, brother?
I'm doing good. I came back into town from a week sabbatical. I came in last night around 7 o'clock. It was a fun trip. I went down with and saw the woman's family. Her brother was in town from the Navy, who lives off the islands just west of Seattle. So he actually flew into Orlando, Florida, for the weekend. So that was a whole lot of fun. Saw my family for a bit. Got a little sunburned. Nothing wrong with that. But all in all, pretty good.
So did y'all make a drive-in or did y'all fly back last night?
We drove to Panama City, spent the night there, drove to the Villages, which, the old folks community, spent 3 or 4 days there, and then drove back to Panama City, spent 2 days there, and then came back.
Wow. A lot of driving in your vacation, but you had fun. You got sunburnt. I'm guessing through the pictures I saw on Twitter that you had a few beverages on the beach, so it all turns out pretty well.
Well, it was my own personal hell for the first night in Panama City when I got back, because one of the places I love to go is this German-style beer garden called Hofbräu. And there's a few Hofbräus around the United States, but so I've got, like, my liter of Hofbräu lager, and I see, like, all these signs, parade route, blah, blah, blah. And then a parade starts. And it's the World Series of Little League Softball.
Ooh.
This is my own personal hell because you have a bunch of like 9 and 11 year old girls running around. They don't mind me. I don't mind them because typically I'm going to places that are 18 to 21 and up, where drinks are served. So that doesn't bother me. It's softball dad I don't like. Softball dad is like 250 pounds, 350 pounds. Pair of Oakleys or Costa Del Mar's, khaki shorts, and a very bullish attitude. I don't like softball dad at all. So
softball dad and baseball dad are the worst.
Softball dad is like baseball dad, except softball dad is a bit more protective because baseball dad knows that if his son's ever going to play center field for the New York Yankees, then he needs to toughen up. Softball games are the worst thing to be around because there's so much chatter and there's just so much like screaming at the batter and at the pitcher for every pitch. You watch it on television and like even at the college ranks, it's the same thing. It is one of the worst sports to attend or watch, and not because the product is boring. It's just you can't watch it with the volume on. So imagine 68 teams. 68 teams, Clint McCain, all descend on one little town.
Yeah, I was down there in Panama City a few weeks ago when it was the Little League Baseball World Championships. And so they were out in full force. And nothing says I'm going to be a future tool like being a 11-year-old with a flat bill cap, with the upside-down white sunglasses on top of the flat-billed cap with, calf-high socks. with sandals on. I mean, I'm sorry.
Oh,
dude.
Man.
Nothing says...
Your son doesn't dress like that, does he?
No, I won't let him wear a flat-billed cap.
Good. Oh, you're dad of the year. Dad of the year.
And the sunglasses upside down on the bill of the cap? No. No, not
and
at all.
And, of course, they're like the $300 Oakley sunglasses that, like, you have no business giving to, like, a 13-year-old boy.
Yeah. I don't think anybody has a business getting a $300 pair of Oakleys.
No, not unless you're like a NASCAR driver and you're standing next to your trophy wife outside your ridiculously fast car, knowing that you're like seconds away from death. Yeah, then you're permitted to wear Oakleys. I get it, because there's no shade there.
Oh, man. Well, while you were gone, sports did not stop. And ESPN has not stopped covering the LeBron James saga. Where is he going now? I wish I had that dun-dun. You know what I mean? I don't have anything. Oh, we should have downloaded that. But LeBron James, A, do you care where he goes? B, is it really this big of a story? And C, do you put whatever team he goes to, be Cleveland, Miami, smaller chance New York, and L.A. I think it's down to pretty much those four. I think it's really down to Miami and Cleveland, but we'll throw those other four out there. Wherever he goes, is it an automatic finals appearance for that team?
If he goes to the East, yes.
Okay.
Because the East is terrible.
Mm-hmm.
I think that if unless Melo goes to the Bulls and we get a healthy Derrick Rose, yeah, I'll say it right away that if he goes to Cleveland, the Cavaliers are in the finals. I don't know if they're going to win it, but I can see the Cavs in the finals. If he goes back to Miami, I think they can put the right pieces around him and get a real number five guy to let him play a stretch four or a three player. I would like the Heat's chances a little bit more. But and to answer your question, yeah, I do care where he goes because I want someone to either cheer for or cheer against. I want this will be predetermined, predicated on where he goes. And I'm going to break away from Camp McCain just for this one caveat. If he goes back to Miami, he's my hero because there is nothing more villainous than to take, like, the poor mistreated puppy of the sports world known as Cleveland sports fans. And we got two great guys who contribute to Has-Been, by the way, that are also avid Cleveland sports fans. We've got friends that are Cleveland sports fans. There would be nothing just more satisfying for me, the guy who always cheered for the bad guy, than to see LeBron James just jerk Cleveland sports fans the wrong direction and go sign back with Miami or sign with the Lakers. That'd be another good heel move, too. But just not go to Cleveland. I would at that point, I'd be like, all right, I'm with you, LeBron. I'm with you.
Now, let me ask you a question. Do you see any similarities, or is it just me, between the LeBron James situation and the Peyton Manning situation where he teased Tennessee along just enough to say, yes, I still care about Tennessee, but at the same time, I'm going to give you all the courtesy visits and the courtesy talk, but we were never really in Peyton Manning's camp for him to come here, according to all reports now. Now, at the time, everybody thought he would come here. Is all this talk, you think, Cleveland just more hype to get Cleveland attention? And he's kind of playing that, okay, y'all are hometown. I'll let y'all, you know, get your time in real quick. I'll play nice and act like I'm going to interview with y'all and come back home. And or do you think there is a legitimate chance he's going to go back to Cleveland?
I think there's a legitimate chance with it. Now, with Manning, you had him going to different locations. You had, like, his plane being tracked. You had people trying to mob his plane. And that's probably the reason why I don't think he loses our shit for much. If we see Tim McGraw at Love Tone, we're going to stop him. We see Amy Girl from Paris, like, working.
Well, I think we're losing Dan here. He's going in and out. So
Man, I've got the wires on and everything. Am I going through distorted?
Yeah, you were going in and out there. You were just breaking in and out. It wasn't distorted. You were just cutting in and out on me.
I was just pawing that one off on Skype. If you, and we're not a town that really loses our mind over much. Like, if we see Tim McGraw or Amy, the girl from Paramore, or Carrie Underwood or Keith Urban downtown, we typically keep our heads about it. We're not going to come mob them. But Peyton Manning, different story. Totally different story with him. That's the reason why he didn't want to. I think deep down he didn't want to come here. And he also knew exactly what he wanted. He wanted to be somewhere in the AFC, somewhere he wasn't going to play against his brother and Eli. Where LeBron James, we don't know really what he wants, except that he wants to go to a team that's committed to winning and to, let's face it, a younger team. Cleveland makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. It does make sense for him to go to Cleveland. I don't really care where he goes. Now, I will say Miami had some signings. I'm trying to look them up right now.
They had Danny Granger come in, and there's some depth signings.
Josh McRoberts. They stole
Josh McRoberts and Danny Granger's. Yeah, not a whole lot there. I would, if I'm Miami, I'm doing what I can to see if we can find a way to get Kevin Love along with LeBron. Because if those two guys hook up together and go to Los Angeles, that's your favorite in the West.
Yeah, I mean, if Bosch goes to Houston, they'll have a pretty solid team.
Bosch is going to the best situation for him because he has the defensive player, the best defensive center in the NBA, you know, right now, Dwight Howard, playing number five spot. Bosch can get back to doing what he does best, and that's being a good stretch four that can shoot the three. So,
that's an added piece for Houston. With James Harden, I mean, if you look at their team, James Harden and Dwight Howard were their team. You throw Chris Bosh into that, they got a pretty good little threesome there with a strong inside presence with Dwight Howard and Chris Bosh bouncing back and forth. And Bosh being able to, you know, shoot that three, I think would be a great fit for him in Houston. And I'm not on the Bosh bandwagon, but I've said for years that Bosh is very underrated down in Miami and overlooked and underappreciated by the fan base. I think the team knows how valuable he is, but I think the fan base underappreciates how good Bosh is.
Well, he wasn't able to play his game, essentially, in Miami. I'm not trying to make excuses for him, but Spoelstra played LeBron as more of a hybrid 3-4, tendency to be more of a power forward, which they ended up pushing Bosch out of his position. He's okay as a center. He's great as a number four. So putting him in a place that has a strong center, let Bosch play power forward and let him play out on the wing a little bit more, that's going to allow him a lot more space. Now, the caveat with this is that it's very unlikely if they're going to bring in Bosch, they're going to pay Chandler Parsons, which Chandler Parsons as of right now is likely headed to Dallas, getting so far the offer sheet he signed, $15 million a season. So Chandler Parsons is going to get paid $5 million more a year than Dirk in Dallas.
Wow.
He had a great year last year, and he's definitely on an upward swing. I don't understand quite what Dallas is doing with this. I mean, I know that they want to hold on to Dirk. I mean, that's kind of a loyalty contract they signed him to. But this is a team that does need a bit more pieces than just Chandler Parsons. Where they're going to get these, I really don't see where.
Well, you brought up a good point, more of a loyalty contract. You're an NBA GM. Do you sign players like a Kobe Bryant, like a Dirk, to a loyalty contract as a GM?
You know, you're always – you look down the road and you look at a team like the Milwaukee Bucks or the let's face it, the Phoenix Suns. I mean, that's a very good team. Or the Utah Jazz. You need at least one guy that you can bank on. You know what? Deep down, this guy is going to be here. come as a free agent, come play for here, come play for my team, because, you know, this guy is here. But there's something to be said for that, because if you take away Kobe Bryant from the Lakers, what do they have? Steve Nash's contract? Because Steve Nash isn't there anymore. It's pretty much his contract. Pau Gasol's leaving unless they bring in somebody that's, you know, worth him staying for. If you're the Miami Heat, Pau Gasol, you might want to give him a call. And that's the only thing I can think of with this. Jurgen Klinsmann, the United States soccer coach, brought up a really good point not too long ago, and he said that United States sports is the only place where you pay people based on what they have done, less so than what they will do. Is Kobe Bryant still worth $24 million a year? Or however much he's getting paid? No, he's not. But the Lakers have to give someone a max contract, and it's Kobe's team, and he's done a lot for us, so we're going to write him not only a max contract, we're going to get him to where we're going to pay his contract in a lump sum the first day of free agency every year. I understand having that, being that loyal to a player, but at some point you realize that, you know what, Carmelo's not going to come here. Why? Because it's Kobe's team. Kobe pretty much writes the rules for this franchise right now, and there's only one ball on the court at one time.
Yeah, that's just I'm trying to think how to phrase this question. Donald Sterling in Los Angeles, you don't hear much about the Clippers in this offseason. Do you think players are hesitant since he's still technically an owner of the club, since it hasn't sold out of his – do you think they're hesitant, or are you like me and think if money's on the table, they're going to go there no matter what?
I think so. I think that when the – you just kind of hearing what we've heard about what Steve Ballmer wants to do with the Clippers, and there's talks of him eventually moving him into Orange County and maybe building a new arena – in that general area, which, if you remember, recent as, 8 years ago, Los Angeles had three functioning arenas in the area between Arrowhead Pond, the old L.A. Sports Arena, and Staples Center. And plus, if you still want to count the Forum, which is in Inglewood, that's an option as well. I don't understand why they feel the need to get out of Staples Center, because I think it's one of the top two or three arenas in the country, even though it's like 15 years old. I don't understand why there's an urgency to leave it, but Steve Ballmer has more money than, I don't know, Liberia, Russia, everybody. So he can do whatever the hell he wants. I think there's still that, but I think you're right, there's still that stigma of the Clippers, if there's that bit of uncertainty with them. I mean, because rewind back to about a month and a half ago, people were talking about LeBron maybe landing in the Clippers or the Clippers being in for some of these other free agents. We haven't heard a peep out of them. We really haven't. And this is a team that is young, that still has the horses with Blake Griffin and Chris Paul. They've got a good 3 or 4 years together before they even see any type of decline between the two of them. Why not the Clippers? You know, why not Pau Gasol just changes his address a little bit and go over there? The Clippers could be a filthy team if they add one more piece, or if they just keep progressing and wait a couple years, frankly. And don't look now, the Sacramento Kings are a team that I want no part of. I want no part of the Sacramento Kings, but with how they're being built.
And what's the reasoning behind that?
Now, you look at their roster. If they're able to hold this roster together for 2 or 3 years, they're going to be that 7 or 8 seed in the next season or two that you want no part of, that may nip a Houston, San Antonio, Oklahoma City in the first round. Just the athleticism that's on that roster, I want no part of. Golden State, I feel like this is their time to strike as well. I'm surprised we haven't heard much about from them this summer, other than maybe trading out David Lee and maybe upgrading somewhere on their front court. But nothing's came about. I think everything's just, we're still waiting for LeBron for the first shoe to fall, figuring out, and then I'd say the number two piece on the market is either Chris Bosh or Kevin Love, depending on who you talk to.
Yeah, and I would think just because of – and Kevin Love. Now, how old is Kevin Love?
Kevin Love, geez, he's still in his early 20s, I believe. He's like, what, 26, 27?
I got news for you. 26, 27 is no longer considered early 20s, but, you know, I'll let it slide.
Well, yeah, sure. He's still got plenty of tread left on the tires compared to, like, a Dwayne Wade.
Well, even in Chris Bosh.
Doesn't have much
Chris Bosh, what, 29, 30?
Chris Bosh is 29, yeah.
All right. Kevin Love was born in 1988, so he is about to be 27. So you're right on there. So he's about 3 years younger. So I would say he is the next big item outside of Carmelo Anthony, too. But and Carmelo's waiting to see kind of what LeBron does. Because supposedly the Knicks are trying to free up some cap space by trading Amari Stoudemire and I can't think of the guy's name. But trying to free up some cap space to try to even potentially lure him into New York. Also, I think not only if they can't get him, they might try to lure Kevin Love in to take over that power forward position from Amari Stoudemire.
I don't see him going in. I think New York needs to do a complete tear down and rebuild and do it the right way, do it through the draft. I mean, regardless of LeBron goes to Cleveland or not, Cleveland's going to be a playoff team very soon. You want no part of their front court. If Kyrie Irving keeps on his trajectory and if Andrew Wiggins just – if he has the season that he had last year at Kansas, if he has that for Cleveland, then you may be looking at them becoming a team similar to the Wizards.
Yeah. I agree with that. Now, Kyrie Irving, you know, a lot of people say he's been injured a lot, but let's see here. Looking back at last year, he played in 71 of the 82 games. Which is not bad, only missing, what, 11 games in their 82 regular season games?
That's not bad.
No, that was the most he's played in his whole career in the NBA. He's only been in 3 years. He played 59 the previous year and 51 the year before that. But playing 71 last year, missed, you know, 11 games, 10, 11 games, somewhere in that ballpark. So if he stays healthy, he is a heck of a player that – and Cleveland also has some – they missed out on that one draft pick, what, last year or 2 years ago, Anthony Bennett. I think it's kind of coming that he's not going to be who they thought he was. But I do like the Wiggins pick. I thought he was a very solid pick. They got Lou Alding. If he's, you know.
If they could just do more work in their front court more than anything else, just so if you're not expecting Kyrie Irving to just take the absolute abuse that he's done over the last few years, and this will extend his career. This will make him much more effective, and plus it opens up space for Wiggins to hit shots on the outside.
They've got to get somebody.
Things, but they need somebody, yeah.
Yeah, they got to get somebody that can shoot from outside.
And Wiggins can shoot.
Wiggins can shoot, but it's going to be hard for a rookie for LeBron James to depend upon a rookie. You know,
right.
I think Wiggins
I
is going
that.
To be a good long-term player, but I don't know how, you know, I could see him come in and averaging maybe 12 points a game or something like that, being a solid role player his first year. But LeBron James has proven that he needs somebody to pick up some scoring.
It would not be a terrible idea that if, even though Bosh just came out and said that if he's not going to be back in Miami, he's going to be in Houston. So if LeBron leaves Miami, you can pretty much pencil him into Houston. And that causes a lot of dominoes to fall because the Rockets have, what, 2 days to match the offer sheet that Dallas put in for Chandler Parsons. So we're going to need an answer pretty quick, essentially, from LeBron because the Rockets aren't going to match the offer sheet for Parsons if Bosh is coming out. It just doesn't make sense for them to do that. It would be perfect if they did because, you know, Parsons could play the number three spot pretty well.
Yeah, and now correct me if I'm wrong, but the collective bargaining agreement goes into effect tonight at midnight, so they can offer more money, I believe, is what I heard from the NBA. They can offer the new salary cap maybe goes in, not the collective bargaining, the new salary cap goes in effect, so therefore they can offer more money tonight at midnight, not so they can officially start signing players tonight at midnight to the new salary cap limits. And so maybe that's what LeBron James is waiting on, because they probably already offered it to him. It's similar. I think they could offer LeBron James, make $24 million or something like that as a deal. But maybe he's just waiting until midnight tonight before he announces his decision.
Yeah. I mean, where would you like to see him land? I mean, I know it make no bones about it. Clint McCain is not a LeBron fan. I mean, where would you like to see him go?
The WNBA. I would want him to go to Cleveland and then not sign anybody else, which is not going to happen. Because where he goes, he's going to negotiate to try to bring on better players around him. Because, again, I truly feel that you can't build a – he can't be placed on a team. He's got to have a team built around him in order to succeed.
So he needs to be the general manager, the de facto general manager as well.
Yes, because he wants certain players around him because those players make him better. Four guys and throw LeBron James out there, if they're not LeBron James four guys, he's not going to win. Period. But if he can select the guys that he plays best with.
I'm kind of bummed out of the people that he's mentioned so far, like your Mike Millers and people like them. I'm disappointed that Delonte West did not make his list.
Delonte West has made his mom's list.
Exactly.
Well, we've about beat the LeBron James drum here. What else in the NBA? Carmelo probably going
to
be staying in,
like,
Nick, I'm assuming.
I would like to see him go to Chicago. I would really like to see him go to Chicago, because Chicago could be that one team that could really challenge Miami or Cleveland or where LeBron goes. If Rose is healthy, and I know that's a huge asterisk, but if Derrick Rose doesn't show up to camp this year motivated, then I've got nothing for him. But I have a feeling he's going to show up pretty damn motivated. You couple that with LeBron, you got Joakim Noah, who's the current defensive center, one of the best centers in the NBA as far as defense goes. You have Carmelo not being forced to play defense. He can take it easy on his side of the ball, because that's been Chicago. The one thing they've lacked is an outside shooter and someone who can shoot on the wing, and Carmelo would be that. That makes too much sense for it to happen, so it's not going to happen.
I think Carmelo is going to end up in New York. I think the Bulls will end up with Kevin Love. If Rose can come back, I about said Jalen Rose. I always want to do that. If he'll come back and play not scared, I think they'll be very solid. Now, you know who I'm interested to see where they end up, and maybe that I've just missed it, is Lance Stephenson.
Yeah, I haven't heard word one about him.
Because he's one of those role players that is very solid that I think can make a good team better. You know, he's not going to be one of those players that you can throw on.
Yeah. Every team needs this, like, Dennis Rodman kind of guy who, even if your best players aren't giving their best effort out there, put Stephenson out there for a few minutes. In hockey, that's what your fourth line is for. You throw your energy line out there. And while they may not score goals, they may not, you know, draw penalties or such, but they'll at least, you know, put a little bit of energy out with the team as far as get out there, play hard, play fast, and make something happen, create a mistake. That's what Stevenson is. He is a one-man fourth line. So he's a little dirty. I like that. So it's if you're a team like Charlotte who's trying to get over the hump, make a call.
I think that would be a great place for him to go. I'm looking here at trying to find NBA free agency. Everything, of course, everything on the NBA free agency is currently LeBron James, LeBron James, LeBron James, and he does dictate a lot of this free agency on where everybody will be going.
Let me jump in on this real quick. A team that I'm disappointed that really hasn't done anything this year, Memphis. Because Memphis has this core together of guys that, let's face it, who aren't getting any younger. Marc Gasol, Zach Randolph, and Mike Conley's still coming into his own. But you're only going to have this level of production from Z-Bo for only one or two more years. That's about it. We see this historically with big men. Marc Gasol, I think he'll give you another 4 or 5 years solid just because of how he plays and just his fundamentals. And that's not a stretch. They need some scoring. They need at least somebody you can put out there every night, 2- and 3-guard spot, and just to take the pressure off them. And I'm a bit disappointed that we're not seeing any tread on that. It's a great basketball town. I would just someone like an Eric Bledsoe or someone like that just to come in and it could just light it up for them.
Yeah, I'm looking down this list of free agents and some names that stand out. Is it bad? Jordan Farmar, do you know who he is?
Yeah, I remember Jordan Farmar. He used to play for UCLA, right?
Yeah. I think he's mixed.
Played for Lakers.
But I'm gonna call him white, but I think he really is a mix. But the only two people that the Clippers have signed are white guys. In free agency.
Gee, that's great timing for a club that's, you know, going through some controversy. That's
yeah.
Awesome.
That's Spencer Hawes and Jordan Farmar.
At least they're both not Duke like guys.
Yeah. I mean, some free agents, unrestricted free agents. we've already talked about
JJ Redick and one of the Plumleys.
Yeah. That'd be funny if he went through that. You got LeBron James, Chris Bosh, Dirk Nowitzki, Carmelo Anthony, Eric Bledsoe is a restricted free agent, Lance Stevenson, Chandler Parsons, restricted, Dwayne Wade, Luol Deng, Trevor Ariza, Paul Gasol is out there.
Yep.
Paul Pierce, Vince Carter, Ray Allen, Sean Marion, those are some older guys that could add some depth to some good teams. I think Ray Allen, do you think he's retiring? He's 38, 18. I mean, I think he's still got it. Do you think he'll end up wherever LeBron James is?
That would make sense. If nothing else, he'll look really good on the warm-ups, you know, doing like the half-assed clap with the elbows on the knees, like after LeBron James hits a shot. Just you'll see him in the corner of the screen wearing the warm-ups. You know, good job, LeBron. Good job.
Jameer Nelson is a point guard. He's been solid for the Magic. Let's see who else is. That's about it. Mario Chalmers, speaking of falling like a brick, before the finals, he would have been a hot commodity.
Yeah.
Kirk Heinrich.
I'm kind of stunned that. Oh, imagine how dead in the water Chicago would have been if Kirk Heinrich didn't completely revive his career over the last 2 years while Derrick Rose was watching his career dwindle away. I'm surprised that's a big name out there. But yeah, if you're the Memphis Grizzlies, I know that they're one of like the organizations that's all about them some analytics and all about them like offensive efficiency. That's how they run their organization. You've got to look at someone like an Eric Bledsoe. and just go after them. Because you know that deep down the Clippers can't afford to keep everybody. You look at teams like the Hornets that, or not the Hornets, but the Pelicans, who are trying to build something. You're not going to have as much competition for guys like that. And for all we know, Bledsoe could be just that guy that needs a change of scenery and needs that space that the bigs from Memphis can open up. And don't look now, Jarnell Stokes has been destroying the summer league so far. That's satisfying.
Yeah, he has.
That's very satisfying.
Yeah.
If there's, I don't summer league, but...
No, what player? I saw it on ESPN, a not-so-top 10. Apparently a player, like, butchered a dunk and just Sprite commercial to dunk. And his dad was a former NBA player. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. Anybody listening out there knows exactly what I'm talking about.
I didn't see this. Oh, man.
Well, you're going to have to check on Twitter, Google. Google Sprite commercial. Well, yeah, Sprite commercial dunk. But that's always entertaining. All right, let's move on to something I know you'll be excited about. I was trying to see if Mr. Chris Jones was going to call in, but he's at a soccer match or a kickball match.
No,
so
he's
let's just talk about
kickball.
It. Whatever. Kickball, soccer, wiffle ball, it's all the same. Let's go ahead and get it over with. The World Cup's going on. The finals are set. What's been your take on the World Cup?
Before it started, I was on the Germany bandwagon. I feel like that while they didn't have, I don't think they have the best player in the world at any stretch, I think that they had the most complete team. And what we see in these tournaments, especially in a place that like Brazil, where it's very hot and very humid, injuries take their toll. And we're going to see a wounded Argentina team playing against a German team that hasn't really had any injuries. And even if they did, their depth is pretty solid. Now, Germany is not going in at full strength because most of their injuries happened before the World Cup even started, with guys like Marco Reus going down. So the Germany team you're going to see is still pretty damn good. If they do get into trouble, they can pull some guys off the bench that are a bit more athletic, a bit more of the younger guys like Mario Götze, and take off guys like Bastian Schweinsteiger. That said, I think Germany walks away with this. Argentina is not healthy going into this. Aguero's not at full strength. Angel Di Maria, he missed today's game. And plus, Germany's going to get an extra day of rest out of this as well, for whatever that's worth. But the Dutch had a pretty good team this year. I didn't think that they were as strong in the back end as they needed to beat a team like Germany, so I'm kind of glad we're going to get to see Lionel Messi take on Germany, but pretty much by himself. It's going to look like this is going to be Cavalier Spurs from LeBron's played the Cavs and swept them. That's what this is going to be.
Well, I'm going to tell you this. I have watched more soccer in the past 2 weeks than I've probably watched my entire life. And I will say that Germany will win tomorrow 3-1. Don't ask me why, but I just feel
the game is on
tomorrow. I'm sorry, I didn't
Sunday.
Mean tomorrow, but
yeah.
Yes, on Sunday, 3-1. I came home just in time for the penalty kicks today. I've caught games here and there. I usually tune in when I know that the game's about over, just so I can see how it ends, because that's the best part. The last 10 minutes of a soccer game are always the best part. So I usually
like basketball.
I watch. Non-NBA playoff basketball, yes.
okay.
Yeah, now if it's playoff basketball, the whole game's entertaining. But if it's if it's December 21st and you're trying to look for a basketball game, I get it. Yeah, I'll give you that.
Yeah.
But I just think Germany is dominating, and how great does that have to make, I guess, U.S. fans feel, knowing that we played them tough.
And plus, the architect of this German team is the United States men's national team coach. You may have heard some of the commentators mention it, but Klinsmann, whenever he took over the helm of the German national team, Germany reorganized just as a footballing country. Every team in the Germans top league had to form their own academy and they also mandated that they have to contribute to the youth program for the German national team. And they said, this is the style we play for the national team. This is how we do it. This is the formations we run. Let's go and get these kids starting to play our style of football. Fast forward, 11 years later, you have a bunch of guys in their early 30s and late 20s tearing up the world stage. Klinsmann's trying to do the same thing over here. That's exciting.
Yeah. And so I think, you know, and what great move by Klinsmann to play the guy who got the last goal for the U.S. against Germany, knowing that if he had not played him in that game, he could have next year or next World Cup played for Germany because he has dual citizenship. But now that he has played in a game for the United States and he is young, what is he, 18, 19?
Yeah, Julian Green is 19, I believe.
Yeah. Now that he has played for the United States, he can never play for Germany in
Correct.
World Cup action.
Now, the caveat with that is that they can play for other teams as long as they don't play in a competitive match. Example
right.
of this was Jermaine Jones, who I would argue was the United States' best player, not named Tim Howard. He used to play for the German national team a couple times in friendlies, where it's essentially an exhibition game. But he switched over to the United States, played in a World Cup qualifier, and essentially at that point you're locked in to play for the United States. The United States also did this with Nick Diskerud, who is, I believe, a Norwegian. He could have played for Norway, Aron Johansson, who could have played for Iceland, and again now with Julian Green. So you look down the road with the United States, some of the lot of players they brought, instead of guys like Landon Donovan, were guys in their early 20s. So it's knowing going into the World Cup that, hey, you're probably not going to win is not the worst idea in the world. So it sets up really good for that glorious trip to Russia in 4 years.
Huh. Well.
Yeah, Russia.
Russia. Damn Russia. Well, we got about 18, just a little bit left here, and is there anything else you want to bring up sports-wise before we get into our buys and sells?
Not especially. I do point out something for those like a long-awaited contract of Chicago's crown jewels, Jonathan Toews and Patrick Kane signed contracts today for essentially going to pay them $10.5 million a year, both of them, for the next 8 years. The significance of this is this. As you and I both know, what has not yet happened as far as North American economy goes that could end up changing a lot of things? Is the Canadian housing market crashing? Is that accurate? That bubble
amongst a number
yet?
Of other things that have me scared about the economy, but yes.
Okay. So here's how that affects the whole spectrum of hockey. You have seven teams that are in Canada, and of those seven teams, I would say at least four of them are high-revenue teams that can spend whatever they want to as long as the Canadian dollar is doing well. So if the Canadian dollar goes kaput, then you have almost a quarter of the league in bad shape. That means that the salary cap will not accelerate and not go up as far as, let's say, how the NBA salary cap and the NFL salary cap rapidly expand. The NHL salary cap has some other variables to take into account. So the Chicago Blackhawks, as of right now, of a $70 million salary cap, have $20 million tied into two players. That's a giant chunk of your roster when you consider you need to fill out 20 players. essentially on your active roster every night, plus if anybody else gets injured. This is a if you're a Chicago fan, start buying houses in Canada now. help the salary cap go up year after next and not put your team in shambles. Because I'm not saying that these two guys aren't worth it. I'm just saying that long-term flexibility may be there, but the short-term, like the mid-term, this is going to be rocky. So expect this complete, total tear-down and rebuild of the Chicago Blackhawks coming in the next 3 or 4 years. Book it.
Wow. Well, we will go ahead and I got nothing.
Yeah, I'm about to say, like, I tried to, like, you know, kind of bring finances into the whole bit of it, but, you know, I hope I didn't completely lose everybody on that one.
No, I mean, I agree with you. It's kind of a scary thought. You don't want to get my opinion on the economy. I've been watching so many economists lately, just trying to get my feel for things. After we kind of hit a lull in the GDP over the first quarter, been trying to watch it for the second quarter picking up. We had a great fourth quarter last year, so it's scary to think of what's about to happen or what could happen. But you know, we're there for our government to bail us out,
like,
right?
Like hyperinflation, is that finally going to happen?
Yeah.
All right. Then we'll be able to pay off our debt to China. We'll finally be able to pay off our debt to China in no time, Clint.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah, because we just show up with a check of if gold bullion suddenly is now worth like quintuple the price it is now, we could just write him a check and say, yeah, here you go, $800 billion right there.
And
this,
you know,
barely
what's scary?
Gets you a can,
like,
of soda.
You know what's really scary? And people don't really, I mean, if you really sit down and think about it, and I know this is a sports talk show and nobody wants to hear about my financing issues, but the U.S. dollar is based on absolutely nothing.
Nothing.
I mean, it used to be like a gold standard, you know, and then when they took them off the gold standard, all currency is pretty much based on nothing.
It's based on potential, yeah.
Yeah, and nobody, like, understands that you could wake up tomorrow, and if you had $100,000 in your bank account, that $100,000 could be worth jack. Potentially. Now, do I think that's going to happen? No. But it's based on nothing. It's based on the promise of the U.S. government. Think about that. I mean, that's scary.
Yeah.
I don't trust the U.S. government to take care of a border, much less currency. Has anybody tried to go get a new driver's license lately, and you want to trust the U.S. government with your money or with the fact of how much money is worth? Try calling the IRS. Try calling the Social Security office. Tell me how that's working out for you. But we're going to trust their opinion on how much our money is worth, and everybody else trusts the U.S. government. That's scary. I'm sorry. I'll get off my soapbox.
No, you're dead right about it. You really are. I've got a loaded gun on this one real quick, and I'm going to go straight after all of our hearts right now. I am selling, unequivocally, going forward, forever and ever, amen, Grandma's Cooking. This
selling
is an experience, like, I am selling Grandma's Cooking. I'm over at my grandmother's house in Lynn Haven, Florida. Nice little coastal town, right? So, they picked up some charcoal, and I had some seasoning. I was going to do some, like, stuffed cheeseburgers or something. I like cooking for this family. My grandmother beats me to the punch, and I see her just start patting out, like, burger patties with onions and garlic in it, and that sounds good. Then she whips out the vegetable oil and just pours, like, literally a quarter-inch lining of the pan with vegetable oil. You don't cook burgers in vegetable oil. That's disgusting. You know how much oil that just absorbs? A hamburger has enough grease to cook it in itself. It's like I ingested like a bunch of stones, and my stomach was just not working with it. It was bad. Girlfriend wanted no part of this, and she watches me cook. She knows the score. She knows how you do stuff, how you not do stuff. Plus, it's loaded with onions. She hates onions. So, old people out there, there's this stuff called nutrition and like the food pyramid and stuff. We know far more than what you did growing up, and that's not a shot against you. It's not my fault that your health books didn't even have like colored pictures in them. We know this stuff growing up. So when we tell you that it's not a good idea to put a whole bottle of Wesson in the fucking cheeseburgers, we mean it. Because I don't want to have like 20 pounds worth of unused oil and undigested membranes and such in my colon forever like you do. There's a reason why that I've lost this much weight. It's because I eat the hell out of some fiber and yogurt. And I smoke stuff instead of fry stuff. So to all you old people out there, get with the times and buy a smoker. I'm also selling unequivocally suntan lotion that calls itself Beach Defense. As of right now, I have got like about a pound of blue menthol aloe vera lining my back because nothing, and I mean nothing that is sold on the market, can prepare you for going into the water of the Gulf Coast, out of the water, and still protect you from the sun. There's nothing that's out there. I have tried dozens of suntan lotions. As of right now, I am so red, I can get a minority scholarship at an Indian university. I'm that red, Clint McCain.
I hear you,
brother. So one thing I am going to buy real quick, and this is a complete about-face for me, I am buying Alabama-style barbecue. I think this is the best. I've been to Memphis. I've been to Kansas City. Coleslaw on top, that's kind of more of a thing all over the place. But Alabama-style smoked turkey, red and white sauce together with coleslaw on top is the best, the absolute best. If you're around the Nashville area, there's a place that I wish that they would listen to the show because we could do a hell of a radio spot for them if they ever wanted it, called Moe's Barbecue.
Moe's Original Barbecue, right by my work, brother.
Moe's Original. Exactly. Yeah, I'd say this is probably close to where you are, but it is phenomenal.
I get the...
Pullman.
Mm-hmm.
What you get?
I get the barbecue nachos.
Ooh.
And oh my goodness, they are delicious. Fully loaded.
And they have like a bourbon lemonade they sell there too.
Ooh. Sounds good.
Yeah.
Might have to make an appearance.
So, yeah. The only thing I don't like about that location is that their air conditioning sucks. But
yeah,
it's wonderful.
All right. I'm going to start with two things negative that I am going to sell. Well, one of them's a buy-sell, the other is sell. I'm going to start with Obamacare. My grandmother is currently in the hospital, and she is 83 years old. And due to Obamacare, she's had a family doctor since she was an adult, you know, pretty much. Known her whole life, took care of her husband when he was alive, my grandfather. And goes to the same hospital. The doctor is in the same hospital, and the office is next door to the hospital, but it's all built in together. And they will not let her doctor is not allowed to come see them, to come see her, because of Obamacare. I won't pretend that I fully understand how it works, but due to the insurance policies and all this stuff with the new Obamacare, your primary care doctor supposedly is not allowed to come see you in the hospital unless the hospital calls, and even then it's up to discretion.
Hmm. Well,
now, I'm not 100% sure how it works, and the hospital has called the doctor, but he has not shown up because I think I honestly think he's kind of hesitant just because he doesn't want to get in any trouble. The other thing is they try to get you in and out of that hospital so quick because of all the new regulation changes that they are trying to – my grandma has double pneumonia right now. They are trying to get her out even though she's only breathing 85% oxygen, and she is so weak that she can't even go to the bathroom by herself. But they said, well, we're going to release her because the medicine's not working. They've been trying for 3 days.
Jeez.
And they switch doctors all the time on her because they're rotating. I get that. So that no doctor, I mean, she's already been to the emergency room twice. The first time they just released her because they said it was a virus. Now she's got double pneumonia, and I swear it was there the first time. They just released her with 100-degree temperature. They released her from an 83-year-old woman from the hospital.
Wow.
But, all right, so that was one cell. The other cell is I saw a story today. Again, I'm sorry to start off with two negative things. I am selling the fact of all these mothers who kill infants. I saw a story in Houston, Texas, of a mother, 17-year-old mom, who had a 19-month-old daughter who was beaten to death by her 20-year-old boyfriend. They drove 40 miles and buried the girl under a bridge together and then tried to report the daughter as missing.
Wow.
They went and bought shovels and gloves together. If you Google, if you Google mother charged in infant death, there's one in Las Cruces, New Mexico, where she is charged in her infant's death for allegedly abusing her child to death. There is another one in, where is this? I believe it was in the New York Times, where they suffocated an infant. There's one in Boston.
So what happened 9 months ago? What's causing all this?
I don't know, but the fact is all these parents, I think there should be a law that it's an immediate death sentence if you kill anybody under the age of 10. I'll give you 10. After 10, you know, we can just punish them. But if you kill anybody under the age of 10 purposefully by beating them, by suffocating them, whatever it is, you immediately get the death sentence. No ifs, ands, or buts, or coconuts. Yeah, I just dropped that line in there.
That was perfect.
Yeah, so I'm tired of seeing that. Just stop, people. So now on a positive note, what I'm going to buy is, sorry, I got off on a tangent. Saw this story actually on Huffington Post. Frontier Airlines pilot buys 30 pizzas on his own dime for stranded passengers. He was the pilot on a flight from Washington, D.C. to Denver. It was diverted to Wyoming due to thunderstorms. A three-hour flight dragged into nearly a seven-hour ordeal, including an extra 2.5 hours on the ground in Wyoming. The captain announced a slight change in the flight's weather outlook. It now included a 100% chance of pizza. The pilot shelled out for 30 pizzas in total. The captain took it his own initiative and said, "Ladies and gentlemen, Frontier Airlines is known for being one of the cheapest airlines in the U.S., but your captain is not cheap. I just ordered pizzas for your entire plane." He said it was the right thing to do. If the need arises, you need to take care of your family. You need to take care of your passengers. They are my responsibility the moment they step on the aircraft until they get off the aircraft. The flight eventually arrived at 11:42. But even when they were on, when they landed in Wyoming, they couldn't get off the plane.
Wow.
So the pizza delivery guy had to bring it to them, and then they handed it out to the passengers. So kudos to that pilot, and it, I don't know if Frontier Airlines was involved in it. If they're not, it's a great story, and he deserves a big raise.
Even though it wasn't his fault, he's taken some accountability. That's what I like hearing. One last thing, real quick. Did you hear about the guys from who robbed a bank in the east side of Manhattan during the fireworks display in New York City?
I did not hear about that.
I mean, it's to the point where I think they should get away with it. Just having the nerve to drill through the ceiling while the fireworks are going off and rob a bank during a fireworks display.
Creative.
That's
smart.
Bold. I mean, you're not going to think anything about hearing a drill and hearing a saw going off, but they didn't make it into the main vault. Sadly, just got into the smaller vault, but kudos to them. I mean, you and I both worked in banks. We can kind of figure out how to do certain things, but that's some serious planning.
Yeah, good planning, serious planning. Kudos, now still illegal, highly illegal, but, you know.
Sometimes you just got to tip your hat.
Sometimes you just got to say, hey, good try. Still going to find you and arrest you, but good try. And I'd give them, a good try on that one. So
give them a few days head start and before the money bag explodes or something. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, Dan, you got anything else for us tonight, brother?
No, not as much. We'll catch up with you next week when all this NBA free agency crap shakes out, and we'll talk to you then.
Absolutely. I hope LeBron goes to the 76ers, and then they don't have a team.
That'd be a good fit. That'd be a good fit.
Absolutely. A good fit everywhere. All right. For Dan D. Bradley, I am C. McCain, HBS on Twitter. This has been Happy Hour, brought to you by Has-Been Sports and the Titans Pro Shop. Go check them out at the base of LFP Field as the season's about 1 month away from the preseason. Go check them out. Get all your Titans gear and rock it on the first night. Well, we will talk to you next Wednesday on Hump Night. Happy Hour. Has-Been Sports.